when you ride a motorcycle, you look where you want to go.
Yeah.
And where you get into trouble is if you start looking at the stuff that you don't want to hit, mm-hmm. you know, like a dog ran out and chased me the other day. There was a road gator, you know, and I was like looking at it and I was like kind of going towards it. I said, oh man, turn my head the other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever I get in a wreck or I'm going into a wreck, you know, because that's the deal, you know, cross brand, you know, Moro is always like, you're either coming into a wreck or going through a wreck or coming out of, however he says it, you know what I'm talking about. And it's true. But when I'm entering into a wreck or I'm in the middle of a wreck, that's normally when I realize that I did not have my eyes on Jesus. I was worried about some other bullshit. Welcome to another episode of Two Dudes, One God Pod. Today, Pat and I don't have a guest. Honestly, I haven't given a ton of thought as to what we're going to talk about. So the best I can come up with is we'll just kind of check in with you and tell you what's going on with the podcast, what's going on with us individually, work, home, family, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, this is weird because I feel like we haven't had a lot of episodes with just us.
I think it's been, what, 4 episodes?
Something like that. Yeah,
something like that.
I mean, not 5 for sure. This has been a handful at most episodes with just Pat and I. And, you know, maybe it's good because I feel like the Charlie Kirk stuff was kind of on the up. I've met a bunch of people in the last couple of weeks that were open to coming on the podcast. So maybe they're listening to this episode. You know, I would love to schedule some people. We've just kind of had to peel back a little bit. You know, we were doing an episode every week. And for a lot of that time, I was just in the insurance business and Pat was just in the taxidermy business. And I feel like we had a little bit more flexibility. And doing cars and insurance and, we'll get you some updates on some of that stuff here in a minute. But, you know, the short of it is Sundays is kind of the only day that my wife and I both are off work. And so it's kind of turned out to be the only day that we could record the podcast, which has been troublesome for some guests as well. You know, I mean, Sundays are kind of a big deal. We went through that class that Nick and Bailey put on and Michelle and I decided as a couple that we were going to have a Sabbath day and that was going to work out to be a Sunday and where we weren't going to do any work and we were just going to enjoy each other's company and reflect. And, we got a couple of Sundays out of that before things changed. But, so since mid-July, I've been selling cars, and I've had a couple of insurance things kind of come and go. Nothing really fruitful there. So I've mostly just been selling cars. And if you've never sold or bought a car, it's, you know, Sunday's the only day that you can legally not sell a car or buy a car. And so I've pretty well worked 6 days a week since July 14th, with 2 or 3 exceptions of a partial day off. Today being the first day, I think, that I was technically off, and I did not go in. So, not complaining, though. It's been good. It's been a little soft here in October. I think we've got the Rose Parade stuff coming on this weekend.
Oh yeah, that is happening. Do y'all do a big float in the parade, or?
I don't know anything about that. You know, I don't know. Maybe. I know the Masonic Lodge is doing a float this year, but you know I'll be at work, so.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of. You know, we're in full swing. Jiu-jitsu competition coming up this weekend. Bobby is going to go. I think Turtle's going with him. You know, we've got, shit. Well, anyway, the podcast is, shit. I don't know, dude. I'm blanked out.
Yeah. I mean.
Oh. I'm going to do some me updates and then you can do some you updates because I think to me somehow that's the way this has worked out. But
yeah.
If you know me and you don't just know me through the podcast, you know that I've had a motorcycle, really haven't not had a motorcycle since probably 2009 or 10. And the bike that I bought in 15 on a road trip, which was crazy, finally went in the shop first time since 2018 and had thousands of dollars worth of repairs that were needed. And in the middle of those repairs, we determined that, it needed a whole motor, which really did not make financial sense anymore. And so I traded it. The guys over at Lone Star Harley Davidson were awesome. I can't recommend them enough. They treated me more than fair, and they were just kind of cool anyway, you know, which is different than the experiences I had with the previous ownership. And I'm not throwing shade. It just didn't feel like that with the old folks, you know? So I know that a lot of people have kind of a, you know, prejudice maybe against our shop here in Tyler. And I'd encourage anyone that hasn't been in or, you know, has been going out of town to do business with Harley stuff to come check them out. That being said, I no longer have a 2014 FLHX Street Glide. I now have a 2025 FLTR Road Glide.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Street Glide is the old electric glide fairing, kind of looks like a bat wing. It's attached to the forks. It moves with the handlebars. The Road Glide is the shark nose looking thing that is a fixed fairing fixed to the frame. So the handlebars move, the fairing and the headlights stay still. So it takes that unsprung weight, you know, instead of putting all that weight on the forks and the suspension and the handlebars, all that weight's on the frame. So it's not on the front suspension. So it's a smoother ride, kind of V's through the wind. But you know, a lot changed in 11, 12 years. And so all the controls that used to be on the right side of the handlebar, they're now on the left side. And I've got more controls than I ever had. It's got Apple CarPlay, which sounds like a really good idea. But, you know, you got to touch the screen for Apple CarPlay. And this thing's got like a 13-inch touchscreen. But, you know, riding a motorcycle and looking and touching a screen at the same time doesn't really
make
work out great. Yeah. But anyway, so it's been interesting. I got about 500 miles on it now, and I think it's going to be a good bike. I got a good feeling about it. And really some of that story ties in with my story, you know, in the first few episodes where I was talking about my dad, you know, and when he was, you know, in hindsight, now we know that he was affected with brain cancer. But, you know, I was on this long road trip and I had a gear position indicator issue with my Kawasaki. And if you're looking on Facebook, my current profile picture, you can see my red Kawasaki. I'm like squatted down hugging Lexi when she was little. Anyway, that bike was set up. It was pretty cool. Anyway, the gear position indicator goes out like 2,000 miles into this road trip. And
2,000 miles?
Yeah, I left out of Tyler at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon in August and was in Prescott, Arizona at like noon the next day.
Wow.
So that was 1,000 miles in, or 1,200 or something, you know.
Yeah.
And got an iron butt, saddle sore 1,000 for that ride.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely fell asleep a little bit between Prescott Valley and Prescott.
Is that long stretch Is it Route 66 or?
Well, I mean, some of it's Route 66, yeah. I guess. I don't really know how that works anymore, but that was a crazy ride, you know, but I got to see a couple people in Prescott, and then I got to kind of make some financial amends. I'd walked out on a pretty big pizza tab in Prescott, Arizona when I was less than a year clean, and so we rolled into this restaurant. I forget what it was called, New York Pizza or...
In Arizona?
Streets of New York, maybe, I think it was called in Prescott, Arizona. I don't know if it's still there. Anyway, I think I walked out on like a $50 or $40 bill, which, you know, when I was 18 years old was like...
That's pretty big. Crazy, yeah.
You know? And back in 2015, you know, so that was 2003 when I lived in Prescott. So in 2015, I decided, you know, on this road trip, I was like, well, we can go through Prescott. So I went to that restaurant and walked in and was like, hey, I need to talk to a manager. And the girl was like, oh, the manager's busy. And I was like, okay, look, I need to talk to the person here that's having the worst week. And she's like, it's me. And I was like, you know, here's $100. And she's like, what's this for? You know, she freaked out. And I said, well, I walked out on a tab in 2003. I was in a recovery house out here. And she's like, I'm in a recovery house and blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, I was like, well, here's $100. You know, yeah. I mean it. So the next day we rode in to Monticello, Utah. And the next day we rode into Denver. And my gear position indicator had been going out since Prescott. And, which, you know, it's not a big deal. But like when you pull up to a light and you look down and it says you're in first gear and you start to go and you stall the bike and you're super tired, you've been riding for 20 hours without sleep, and now it says you're in third gear, kind of pisses you off a little bit. Yeah. So I got rid of the Kawasaki and I bought this Street Glide that I'd had. And my dad, I called him. I said, hey, I'm thinking about trading for this Street Glide. They're giving me a good trade value on my Kawasaki and they're selling for a good price. And he was like, you're finally going to get a real bike. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, okay, good. He said, I'm going to cash a CD and give you $15,000 so that you can buy this Harley.
Oh, wow.
And so I told the guy at the dealership, hey, man, I'm going to do $15,000 down. He's like, perfect, you know. And so the next day I went in to sign paperwork, and the guy's like, hey, how are you doing this $15,000? I was like, let me call my dad. So I called dad. He's like, I talked to your mom, and this is crazy. I can't give you $15,000. And I was like, what?
It's your idea.
I'm like, right? Dude, you offered, and I'm buying this bike. And he was like, well, I'll call you back. And so he called me back, and he goes, hey, I'm going to give you $5,000. And I said, okay. Now, hindsight, I didn't know that he was already suffering some effects of brain cancer. Mm. But he, nevertheless, he ran a card over the phone with Avalanche Harley Davidson for $5,000. And I bought that Street Glide and, you know, rode up and down Pike's Peak the next day on a brand new Harley, which was crazy. And, put almost 75,000 miles on that bike. And it's, you know, dad, you know, died of cancer January, right after he did that. And so I've always kind of thought I'll never get rid of this bike. And it was a real problem for me, like emotionally, psychologically, kind of facing the facts that this bike wasn't going to be fixable. I know dad would have hated that I spent $15,000 to fix a bike that would have been worth $9,000. And when I was looking at trade numbers that they gave me over at Lone Star, they had put $5,000 as the trade value, you know. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, there's dad's $5,000. You know?
Yeah.
And anyway,
full circle.
That's what's going on, you know? So had a great last 2 months in the car business, you know, had, you know, 16, 17 cars a month, you know, had good income. And I bought this bike at the beginning of the month. And as of the time of recording this podcast, I have 3 cars sold. So I'm like, here we are, you know.
Come buy some cars.
I spent some money, and, you know, so God and I've been talking, you know. Maybe he was just trying to get my attention. I don't know. You know, I prayed about this motorcycle deal. One thing I can say is that my wife, 2 or 3 months ago, I told her, hey, I think I'm going to buy a new truck. She's like, you're not buying a car, you know. I'm like, really? And then a month into cars, she came and I traded my car and bought her a new car. I thought, that's interesting. And I was just sure, because she's a numbers person, that she was going to be not about another motorcycle. And you know what? She came up there, she looked at the paperwork, she goes, I think we should just do it, you know? And she's super supportive. So, you know, I'm winning there, you know? Every time I see somebody, they go, oh, I wish I had a motorcycle. My wife would never go for it. I think, well, you got the wrong wife. Yeah, wrong wife. But anyway, so I've got this bike and I'm selling cars. And yeah, I'm not going to lie, I'm having a good time. Yeah. You know, I'm having a good time. All I have to do is meet people, hang out, make friends. You know what I mean?
Got them through some paperwork.
Yeah, just do a little bit of paperwork. You know, if you Google Pelche Chevrolet in Tyler, Texas, and go to reviews and click newest, just try to scroll through there, read all the reviews people are giving about me. I mean, it's crazy. And I've had people tell me, hey, I bought a lot of cars in my life. I've never had customer service like this. So if you or anybody you know is in the market for a new or used vehicle, 903-262-4000 is my cell phone. Just holler at me. You know, if it doesn't work out, you don't like it, no big deal. You don't like the car, I didn't build it. You know what I mean? But we're having a good time. What was I going to say? I'm going to have to edit the fuck out of this. We had a Freedom Weekend, and this is the first one that I planned on being at that I ended up not being at. And I don't know if that's worse than actually going through a Freedom Week before you do go to Freedom Weekend, you know, because you know, a lot of times I feel like the devil kinds of attacks you. I really wanted to be there for this thing, and I wasn't this time. So, but you were there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was really, really good.
It was good. Well, that's good. You know, it's like, I wish you'd say, oh, it sucked and you weren't there. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean? But that's not what you're saying. No, everybody's like, oh, it was really good. Yeah. I'm like, well, you're not helping me feel better about not being there.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's crazy because, you know, we put so much planning into the Freedom Weekends and everything, and we had like 8 people drop out like last minute, and we had 7 people fill in those spots last minute. I think even one of my guys dropped out. Actually, no, there's no I think to it. It was definitely one of my guys dropped out on it. And, you know, I've been in communication with him enough over. Do you hear that? Am I tripping? It sounded like it just cut out.
Oh, you've got the short.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, anyways, so we prepare for all this, and you never know what you're getting. You never know if you're getting someone that's you know, stone rolling, who has got a hard heart, this is like my, I want to say it's like my 6th one,
yeah.
6th or 7th. And we've seen everything from people who don't want to hear anything that we're talking about, that we're discussing, to people who are primed and ready for it. And whenever you really set back and you start to see the soil preparation that God does in the weeks ahead, it's one of those things where you really do just have to trust him and everything that he's doing with that. And I can say the weeks leading up to Freedom Week were pretty hellish. You know, I was going through a lot.
Yeah, you had some stuff going on.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not someone that tries to put everything out there. You know, I really like to sit on things because I feel like I've been in situations where people have pulled the trigger on me and they haven't been patient and they just assume a lot and then they go to talking shit. And then next thing you know, there's just a big forest fire ahead of you. And, you know, I had to step away from the work situation that I was in. I came into working back in Tyler 3 years ago. What's today?
October 14th.
Okay. I actually started working back in Tyler October 13th, 3 years ago. And I got off the road because, like, I'd lost my dad. I was ready to come home. I was ready to get off the road. I was sick of the jumbling everything that I was doing. And it wasn't working. And so I came home and I told myself that I'm just going to subject myself to some type of authority. And that's kind of what I even did on a spiritual level. I kind of combined the work and spiritual because, you know, I've always heard people talk about the scripture where Jesus is saying, do this as if you're serving me.
Hmm.
And that's really where my heart was in all this. And, you know, I just wanted to be the servant of servants, essentially. And I feel like that door really has come to a close. Not in the sense of I'm not serving people anymore, but as far as subjecting myself to certain authorities and really not taking the initiative for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at now, as far as taking the initiative, because, you know, I just started up Rose City Taxidermy.
Okay.
I've already got three customers.
Three?
Yeah.
One of them Travis?
Yes, one of them is Travis. he was actually one of my very first ones, like, last deer season, but, you know, we made it work. We made it happen. But I just felt like I was kind of pushed out of the situation that I was in, and I just went into a lot of prayer as I was getting pushed out and really trying to prevent depression because, you know, I've heard people say, you know, depression's just a demon, blah, 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 blah. But also depression is your observance of your circumstances. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Like, it's someone there's some people, whenever they describe their life to you, you're like, oh man, you've got every right to be depressed. You know what I mean? I remember my dad, he went into a doctor's appointment, and the doctor was like, do you want to get on some antidepressants? And he was like, for what? And he was like, well, you just told me, like, seemed kind of depressed a little bit. And he's like, yeah, but the reality is I've got things that I need to be depressed about and actually deal with, instead of just giving myself some medication that's going to numb the situation and get me completely detached away from the situation. So I've leaned on that, and I have the understanding that sometimes if I'm depressed, it's not necessarily an oppression. Like, obviously the enemy laughs whenever I act on the depression, whenever I'm lashing out, acting like a weak man, you know, the enemy capitalizes on that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I want to figure out how to get myself out of the situation that I'm in and trust the providence of God. Because I do believe that everything that's been happening, I'm a firm believer that God protects us from conversations that we weren't even around for.
Mm.
And sometimes there's people that have discussions about business, about life, about whatever behind closed doors for a reason. And I'm of the strongest belief that God really does protect us in ways that we may not necessarily like, because, you know, we've got this plan, we've got this idea, we've got a 5-year plan to keep moving forward, and then boom, you make that plan and God laughs a little bit because that's not his plan.
A good point, you know? That's a good point.
Yeah, because I know whenever you know, Nick, we had Nick Swinford on, mm-hmm. on the show and everything. Mm-hmm. Whenever I heard him pray one day, I don't remember what he was praying about, but the end of it, he says, "We love you and we trust you." That really impacted me, of being able to look at my circumstances and say, okay, God, I don't know what is going on. I don't know what you're doing. I know who you are and I trust you in all of the things. And, that really has been a reality in my life for years, just because, I don't know, I guess I'm the guy that has always made bad decisions, wrong decisions, trusted the wrong people. And I wear that. I own that. But I do know this much. I trust my Heavenly Father more than anything. And I guess that's why I always tend to trust people, because, you know, I know God's got me. Sometimes the people hurt a lot more than what God intended, but I'm always going to trust him. So yeah, like I started Rose City Taxidermy. I've got a couple of clients. I've got some people that have already reached out, asking me about prices and everything like that. So if you're a hunter this year, or if you're just somebody that has a cow that wants to get taxidermied, let me know. Whatever, you know, I don't do pets or anything like that, but, you know, as far as the sport and the game and Texas traditions, I'm all over that. So, if you need that done, just give me a holler. I'll be posting price sheets here very soon on the webpage.
Prices are going up.
Actually, we already went up. So I try and keep with the industry standard. You know, there's a lot of bigger taxidermy companies that do quality work, and the reason why I consider myself to be up there with them is because I'm not using ancient methods. I'm not using methods from 40 years ago. You know what I mean? Like our forms are state of the art. They're all designed. They are measured, and everything goes according to the measurements of the skin that you bring to us. So it's never going to be like you've got this great big deer that I'm just slapping it onto some little bitty thing. Like, you know, there's a lot that's involved with it all. As far as your measurements, as far as your tanning, as far as, even your form modifications, you know, you may have a goofy deer, that looks great, but your form doesn't exactly 100% line up. So, that's where I come in and I make form modifications using foams, using clays, using epoxies and bondos and all kinds of stuff and ear liners. And, I think it's very important to hold to that, and not use out-of-date methods. So I'm doing that, and I've got a couple of other things as far as work goes in the pipeline. Really just trying to pray on that, trusting God and what he's going to do. I know he always shows up and shows out. And I don't know why we're surprised. That's one thing I've never quite understood. You know, you're going through this season of difficult times of, some would call trial and tribulation. And then when you get to the other side of the trials and tribulations, we're like, wow, I can't believe God did that. But like, we're his children, right?
Well, when you ride a motorcycle, you look where you want to go.
Yeah.
And where you get into trouble is if you start looking at the stuff that you don't want to hit. Mm-hmm. You know, like a dog ran out and chased me the other day. There was a road gator, you know, and I was like looking at it and I was like kind of going towards it. I said, oh man, turn my head the other way. You know, whenever I get in a wreck or I'm going into a wreck, you know, because that's the deal, you know, cross brand, you know, Moro is always like, you're either coming into a wreck or going through a wreck or coming out of, however he says it, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And it's true. But when I'm entering into a wreck or I'm in the middle of a wreck, that's normally when I realize that directly precipitating this wreck, I did not have my eyes on Jesus. I was worried about some other bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? And so you got to look where you want to go, you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, and for me, I have kind of a low, I have a high physical pain tolerance. I have a very low mental emotional pain tolerance, you know? And so when things are going on that are bothering my heart, it's quick for me to start focusing on those things because I want to fix it. I want to solve the problem. And I've got to remember that it's not my job to fix it.
Right.
Right. God didn't say go and fix problems.
Yeah.
He said, go and make disciples.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is we had a GX550 Lexus on the lot. And it's been with us for 45 days or something, you know, and I mean, it's an expensive car.
Yeah.
And the woman that came in and bought it, she came in and bought for me. I showed it to her. My wife has a GX460. She has a GX460. You know, she's wanting this 550. She's been watching them. We start talking. She's a medical doctor. We start talking about, you know, faith. And, you know, she's like, I went to seminary. And I'm like, we've got to have you on the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
And so I'm not going to drop any names, but I'm going to be in contact with her and hopefully we can get her on. And you know, we talked about, you know, Jesus, you know. And what's interesting is because I'm having this slow start to the month and here I am working with this lady and we're not even talking about the car she's buying. We're talking about Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I'm at Burger King, and this lady's like, I want to pray with you, you know? I'm like, what? Okay, cool, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's human to get distracted. And I think it's the older I get, the more experience I have. I hate to say the wiser I get, but, you know, I think it's probably appropriate. I stray shorter periods of time. I spend less amount of time worrying about outcomes.
Yeah.
And I spend a little bit more time or I'm quicker to come back to like, okay, God, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know,
where am I at right now?
Am I, is what I'm doing serving you the best, you know? And, I just, you know, if I cared about sports, I'd probably give you five sports analogies, but I just don't care about sports. You
Thank
know,
I God, because I do not. I don't care about sports.
It's one of the, you know, we have a lot in common, but like the closer down you get, we don't have a ton in common. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like we, I don't dance. You dance?
Oh, I dance.
Okay.
Yeah, I dance. I can two-step right across the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. well, it's just too complicated because it's only two steps, but they really take like five or six steps, so I don't really know how it works.
One, two, rock, one, two, yeah, rock. Okay. So the counting thing is what you struggle with, right?
No. Yeah, I took music theory. Oh, okay. I don't know. Anyway, my point is, you know, we've both had a little hiccup, little bumps in the road with the way we thought things were going mm-hmm. in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcome of that is, it's like Dr. Blom. You know, if you haven't listened to his episode, go back and find Dr. Louis Blom's episode mm-hmm. and listen to it. Or Coach Rock's first episode, go find that mm-hmm. one, because they're two examples of men who radically just believe and follow what God says.
Yeah.
I hope that I'm like that. I aspire to be like that. Mm-hmm. But I still think that I'm kind of just drifting through life a lot of times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when things get bad, the first thing I do is go, okay, well, I got to pray about this. You know, it's like I get into the wreck by not coming to Jesus, not praying, not focused on, you know, I'm focused on what my goal is or what I hope things work out like, you know. And I'm often surprised that, like, things work out better than what I thought when I finally go, okay, God, what are you wanting?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And so I think I see some of that in your deal, you know, with this. You know, it's a complicated. We don't have to get into all the details of it, but you know, it's like seems like you're supposed to be doing taxidermy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely I never expected to get into it the way that I did, and to do it as well as I did. I'm not sitting here saying that I'm the best taxidermist in the world or by any means, but I was the best in my class in Louisiana a few months ago completely by accident. I entered the Barasinga Inn, and I just wasn't even focusing on what the judges were saying, what they were doing or anything, because you can watch them, like you can walk in there and they'll each be looking at their thing and they're writing down on their little paper. They've got like a score sheet that they'll score everything on. And after the banquet, I went and looked at my piece, and there was a blue ribbon right there. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I guess I don't even know what that means. I'm not even reading it. And I just walked away from it. And my mentor, she was like, did you see your piece? And I was like, yeah, I figured that they just gave like participation ribbons or whatever. And she was like, oh, no, buddy, you pulled a blue ribbon. You took first place in your class, and yeah, you took the top piece. And I was like, huh, well, okay then. I guess I am supposed to be doing this, because, you know, that's not something that just happens on accident. And, you know, I try and approach everything with prayer. Even in my moments of desperation, I'm like, God, is this really the route that I'm supposed to be going down? And usually he lets me know. He gives me the assurance or tells me to run away. And usually when he tells me to run away, I don't listen. Because I'm a very flawed human. But the more and more that I just get to know him, the more and more I realize how much I don't, you know? Because yeah, I know God, personally, I know him, spiritually, I know him in all the ways, but he's such a mystery because, you know, there's a portion in scripture where, I think it's Elijah. He's just called down the fire, burned up all the prophets of Baal, all this, that, and the other. And Jezebel has like put a death warrant on his head and was like, before today is over, you will surely be just as my prophets and you'll be dead. Well, he went on the run for like 40 days and he ended up at the mountain, and he was like, Lord, I've been zealous for you. I've been looking for you. And then there's this big wind that comes through. And the Lord was not in the wind. And then there was a big fire that came through. And the Lord was not in the fire. And then there was
a in the whisper.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting to the point. Thanks. There was all this stuff going on. But then in the still, small voice, he was like, what are you doing here, dude? Like, there's 12,000 people in Israel who have not bent the knee to Baal. I want you to go there and let them minister to you. And Elijah has just been the last 40 days just about me. I'm running from this person, running from all the bad things. But the reality is God's already prepared things for us to be ministered to. And I think it's so important for us to keep to that grounding that he gives us. Because he does give us a foundation that we can turn back to and that we can call upon his name for anything. And I will always trust that. So that's kind of my two cents on the whole life situation right now is I don't always know what the heck's going on, but man, I know who he is. And I'll always trust him because he's just been so good over and over and over. And I can't begin to tell all the times I've seen his goodness show up in random situations that I'd never expected him to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And fall's in full swing.
Yes.
You know, hunting season's around the corner for a mm-hmm. lot of people. I guess you can kill ducks right now. I don't know, you know, it was dove, and now I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, dove season's still in. Duck season's coming up. Deer season started for bow season the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got gun season, which I'll mention. It's been really hot. They haven't been walking. Mm-hmm. It's just been so. Then we had the same thing last year during bow season. It was just so hot. Deer aren't moving. They're not getting into the rut. But come November, I'm sure we get a few rainy days and cold spells set in. That's another thing I'm ready for, some freaking rain.
Mm.
We got more rain in August than we did in September, which is pretty
weird,
pretty unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, if you've been listening, you know, look for an episode at least twice a month. You know, and maybe we'll get back up a little more, you know, maybe we'll build some episodes back up and be able to do once a week. But I think probably twice a month is a kind of a sweet spot for us.
Yeah.
And
just to talk on that, I think we did a really good job to be recording once a week,
even
whenever we didn't want to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there were plenty of times, even today, we were like, what the heck are we going to talk about? And I'm like, dude, do you even want to freaking record? Are you going to be awake?
I was starting to snore in there, waiting on the phone to charge.
Yeah, but I want to commend you for keeping me motivated to doing that once a week, because I wanted to commit to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even just like for myself or even to you. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do that for God, because I felt like he was calling us to do that. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to commit to any of this stuff
mm-hmm.
week in, week out, if it wasn't for you being like, hey, you're going to be here on this day. You know what I mean? So, I appreciate that.
It was a lot easier when I was working from home, and I had time to edit, and I had time to schedule people, and I knew that I was going to be available, and I know we've got people that look forward to the next episode. You know, thank you for reaching out, thanks for the feedback. But we're gonna, I think we've got some people we need to get lined up, we need to get scheduled. We've got some strong episodes coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not quitting. We're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to come out couple episodes a month instead of every week. That is, unless somebody wants to, you know,
edit for us,
throw, volunteer tons of money or tons of time, in which,
I don't know how we get more of that.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. This podcast has been a cool deal to do and witness and be a part of, and we've said before, but this is my personal ministry. This is what I've got, and I think it's important that even on a day like today, where we really didn't know what we were going to talk about, and I didn't feel like we had a lot of message prepared, you don't have to have all your ducks in a row to come to God.
Yeah.
And, so this is my obedience.
Yeah.
You know, we record this, I'll edit it, we'll put it out. We'll probably be back next week with a guest. We've got some neat ones coming up, and I don't want to spoil anything, but we've got, y'all are going to like these next couple that we've got probably. Yeah. Okay. So, hey, we love y'all. Stay safe. Bring your taxidermy stuff to my guy over at Rose City.
Go buy the cars from this dude over here.
If you need a truck or a car or an SUV, holler at me. And we'll catch y'all in a couple of weeks, okay?
Thank y'all very much.